Well, today we're going to study from a couple of openings. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 3 and Matthew 13. Now, we're still teaching from the first Sunday of this year when I had a chance to teach on our theme for this year, for the vision for this year. God has opened doors for you. Say, God has opened doors for me. Amen. And open doors represents access and opportunity. Open doors represent the places to which God will take you, the blessings God will bring you. The Bible talks about the windows of heaven being open, open doors of heaven, pouring out blessings. And so open doors says a lot about life, about what God is doing, about what we are doing. So I'm going to begin today and from Revelation 3, which is a foundation text. And I'm going to read from, in fact, today I'm going to just read from verse 7 today. There's more I want to bring into this text. It says, verse 7, Revelation 3, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, he shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name." Amen. That's the text from which we have derived the statement, open doors. Now, notice he said here that these doors are open to those who have a little strength. You know, it doesn't take a ton of strength for God to help you. Amen. You may have a little bitty strength. Maybe you're at the end of your strength. It only takes just whatever you have to see God do what else he can do. Because if it was our strength in play, then we wouldn't need God. So because we need him and he's in our lives, he says that, "I know your works. I've seen what you've done. I see what you're doing. And I have set before you an open door." Now, on this, today I'm going to give you a topic. Subtopic will be today, preparing your heart and life for increase. Say, preparing my heart and my life for increase. Now, what happened was this, as I began to pray on this and seek the Lord about this and meditate on open doors, what I realized was this, that open doors happen because God has put us in position to see a door open. Now, example, let's say if you're going off to school, any kind of school, you know, high school for young people, college for older people, trade school, training school, wherever you go that represents an open door of learning, before you go there, there's preparation for that. That is, to get into college, for example, you got to have a PSAT, you got to take an SAT sometime, you have to take a test. There's some things you do that qualify you to go through that door. And in fact, the door is over there, but it doesn't open for you until you've made what's called prerequisites, right? Now, even though God, the promise of God stands, and our theme today is that it is finished, and we're going in, that's true. And because it's finished, we should act like it's finished. We should prepare like it's done. We should get in position like God has made the way for us. Amen? Amen? So then when he says, "I see your works," that's the qualification for the door being open. I see your works. See, I have set before you an open door. Amen? Y'all with me now? Amen. All right now. He says, "And no one can shut it." So once the door is opened, you should have no fear and no concern that what God promised will not come to pass. Because if he opened the door, I double D dare anybody to try to shut it. Amen? He says, "For you have a little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name." So that's the basis upon which we know the door is open. Now, I can't see always which door it is. I don't know where it leads always, but I know it's open to me. See, my door is open. Lord, help me find it. Now, that's true for us individually. It's true for us as a church. There are open doors for growth, open doors for salvation, open doors for evangelism, open doors in every area. Now, go to Matthew 13. Our text today is Matthew 13. I'm going to begin teaching on the parables of Jesus from this chapter, because I realize in connecting this concept to open doors and I know your works, that these parables are talking about principles that open doors for us, principles that keep us in position where we can always see the next thing God is doing. So in Matthew 13, we'll begin here in verse 1. And just so you know, there are 8 parables in this one chapter. 8 parables in here. And we're going to just take one today, the first one, because the first parable is actually the parable of parables. The first parable explains all parables. You'll see it in the text. All right, here we go. It's on the screen as well. 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 1 says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. Now, so he said he spoke to them many things. Say things.
Things.
Now, the things are the principles, the lessons, what we need to know. And listen, y'all, today you're going to hear many things. I just pray you have ears to hear. You're going to hear many things. So he said this. Behold, he said, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much depth of earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, and others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Sermon over. That's the whole sermon right there. He's done. So then all the folk came together, and he waited, all assembled. He got in the boat, pushed back, and said these words. And that, y'all, was the whole message. The last thing he said was, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. And he was done. Folk like, is that it? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I came all the way out here to hear a few words. He didn't even preach. He didn't tune up or anything. He just, that's all. Now understand this about what God does, the way God does things. Don't confuse God with what you see in people.
Amen.
Or even in churches.
Amen.
Always. Now there are two kinds of promises. There are conditional promises, and there are unconditional promises. God's love is always unconditional. But most of God's promises are conditional. You got ears to hear? Are you hearing me? See? Listen, y'all, listen. Right now, in this space here, God's word is being proven. Do you have ears to hear? Now watch this. So then, now God's love is unconditional, meaning that he'll love you no matter what. I mean, thank God for that. Amen. Your parents' love is unconditional. But promises are conditional. Things that God wants to do, he won't do for everybody. He wants to, But he can only work for people who have ears to hear. Well, Pastor, God can do anything. Oh, he can't lie. He can't lie. So God cannot do for me what I don't have faith in him to do. Now, he'll have mercy upon me. That's a part of love. It's unconditional. But the promises that God makes for us, to us, require that we trust him to have a little strength. Amen? To have faith, as Christ said in Revelation, that we have had faith, have denied his name. So even though it's grace working, we're working with God, right? Now, so then, back to our text. So then, he finished the sermon. He's done teaching. Watch this, Matthew 13 and verse 10. And his disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" I mean, man, you could have told them exactly what's on your mind. Why did you get up there and talk about seed and sowing and stuff on the... Why did you say all that? You could have told the people exactly what you wanted to say to them. Why do you speak in parables? He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Say, you, them. Now, the thing is, you can be you or you can be them. What are you talking about, Pastor? You have ears to hear? Because this is the whole issue with every Christian, everybody, everywhere in the world where it concerns God, is that somehow we started thinking that God is doing stuff on our terms. It got out somehow that God is following us. Or he got to do stuff the way we want him to do it. God has this problem. He thinks he's God. He ain't got no problem. We got a problem. So there's you and there's them. Now, you are the people who have ears to hear. Them is the people, or them are the people. Either way, it sounds wrong. The people who don't have ears to hear. So listen, the reason he spoke in parables, it was to encourage people who were serious to go deeper. In other words, if you have ears to hear, don't come down here if you're not serious about God, because you know, you may trifle with other people. You may trifle with everything, but don't trifle with God. He's not the one you want to fool around with. So Jesus is not going to waste his time or the people's time. He says he preached that sermon and was completed, was done in 5 minutes, 10 minutes max, and said, "If you have ears to hear, let him hear." That's it. And then after that, he just watched to see what's the response. And the response was, the pattern was, a bunch of folk walked away. They just said, "That's it, that's all. All right." But then other folk just came closer. And in this case, they said, "Jesus, why do you speak in parables?" And he explained. And then now this part of the text is the explanation of the purpose of parables. Because he's going to speak seven more parables. He got seven more parables to speak. But before he gets to the next set of parables, he's laying out, here's how this thing works right here. Here's how we know what God is doing, what God is saying. So he says again, "To you it has been given to know the mystery." Say mysteries. What is a mystery? A mystery is something hidden from people who don't care. But it's something revealed to people who do care. A mystery is hidden from people who are not curious or inquisitive about the things of God. But a mystery then is what's revealed to those who are, in fact, curious and inquisitive and want to know more about what God has to say. So he said, well, Lord, why wouldn't you tell everybody plainly? Because he's not going to waste his time, their time. More importantly, he won't waste any words. Didn't he say that every idle word that people speak will be judged? Well, listen, if Jesus said everything he had to say in a half hour to people who didn't even care about it, then that would be idle words. He would have wasted a half hour of words on folk who weren't even paying attention. And moreover, they would have not benefited from what God said. See, everything God says is on purpose. And, you know, we have, you know, we as people, we like to have a little friendly banter. We talk, we kind of kick it and all that. God doesn't kick it. He don't kick it. He don't hang out. Amen, somebody. Amen. God's not into entertainment. He's into purpose. Now, listen, y'all, there's joy and pleasure in all this. It's not like hard and rough. It's just that God just takes all this stuff seriously. So he doesn't say anything without purpose. He doesn't waste any words. So why would he talk to people at length who aren't paying attention? So he said a few words and concluded the sermon by saying, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. And which to which the Christ disciples, real disciples said, learners or disciples said, Lord, what do you mean by this? And he explained it to him. Okay. Well, now, so then we embark now upon this teaching because the you are the people who have ears to hear. Look at verse 12. He says, for whoever has to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. Wow. Talking to the you, to those who have ears to hear. He says that he who has what? Hearing, hearing heart. Who is teachable? He says he'll be given more. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, that's an expression, not that God goes and aggressively takes away. It's that what we do not choose to retain or hear or take to heart, it just falls away. You know, like in school, I was in school, we all been students, and you know what it's like to have been a good student and a bad student. Now, when you were a good student, you paid attention. You read the lesson. You did the exercise. And so that when it came time for an examination, you aced it because it didn't fall away. But if we're in class, not paying attention, not focused in, what we have, a bit of attention, a bit of knowledge and all that, if we don't study and come behind with reading, it's taken away. That's what it means. Not that God just, you know, runs up on people. Just that we just stuff falls off of us. The things we need to actually know, we can't retain it because of a lack of focus and attention. So he says, 13, answering their question still. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see. Or you could say they don't want to see. Hearing they do not want to hear, nor do they understand. So, according to the text, that anybody who doesn't have ears to hear and doesn't want to follow and pursue Christ, he says that they don't see, they don't hear, and don't understand. If you have ears to hear, you're going to hear. But if you don't have ears to hear, you won't see, you won't hear, you won't understand. Well, our goal, so that's them. You are those who have ears to hear, but the them in this text are those, as he said, who actually are in the presence of truth, in the presence of even Christ. Imagine being physically with Jesus. I mean, with him, seeing with your natural eyes. And he's talking. You're hearing his voice in your ear. Man, if I don't listen to that, I won't hear anything, right? Well, that's what happened. Now, going on here, watch what it said. Verse 16. So he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. See, Lord, thank you. I have blessed eyes. I have blessed ears. That's right. You or them? Are you you or are you them? Say, I am. How you say this? I'm you. I am you. I am the person. Say, I'm the person that Jesus is talking about. That's how we say that. Is that clear? Because this is the basis for the whole rest of what he has to say. In this chapter, 8 parables in here, 8. And every one is full of profound truth. And again, my topic today is preparing your heart and life for increase, right? So we are preparing our hearts and our lives for increase. And there is no mystery of how to succeed. Success in life is no mystery. It's not... Well, it's a mystery. It's a mystery to them, but not to you, right? So let's go in now to the parable. So then let me give you these 8 parables. They're on the screen here, okay? And so there's 8 parables. First is the parable of the sower and the soils. We're doing that today. And I can summarize that as the power of conditions. So then when you look at when farmers look at their fields, the farmer has to assess the soil. I mean, the seed's important, but the soil is more important. I mean, where you put your seed makes a huge difference, doesn't it? And the second parable is the tares, parable of the tares. I call it the power of challenge. The third parable is the leaven, parable of the leaven, which is the power of mystery. The fifth parable in this text, in Matthew 13, is the hidden treasure. That's the power of value. The sixth parable is the costly pearl. That's the power of priority. The seventh parable is the dragnet, which is the power of judgment. And finally, the householder parable is the power of balance. All right, so we teach on these next few weeks because these are very, this is how we prepare our hearts and lives for increase, right? See, the open door, he says, I know your works. I know your works. I know what you're doing with what I've given you. I know what your faith is like. I know what you're doing. So I've set before you an open door that no one can shut. And I don't believe God is, that's a conditional promise. I mean, it's in the Bible. We all read it, but it's conditional. That is conditioned upon our response to him. Now, let's go down to this parable of the soils, or the sower and the soil. So then we read, let's go back now to Matthew 13, and we read that verse 1 through 9, okay? Now, let's go back, and let's go a little further down because, again, the crowd got real small, okay? He went from that big crowd. He pushed out from the boat to talk to the crowd. Now he's back on shore talking to a smaller group now. And he's going to explain what he just taught from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 and following. Now let's go down to verse 18. So hear the parable of the sower. What did he say? He said what? Hear the parable, right? He's talking to the people who said, Lord, what does it mean? And his first words were, okay, all right, hear this. When anyone hears, the word of the kingdom, and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Now, go back now. Look at verse 4. Okay, Matthew 13, 4. So he says, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. So in the parable, listen, in the story, he said, it's like the sower, the guy putting seed out. Some seed fell by the wayside. The wayside is the path around the garden or around the field, right? You have the part of the field that's designed for putting seed in and the parts where you walk through between where you sow the seed. That's called wayside. And he's saying that some seed fell on the wayside and the birds came and devoured it. Now, so go to Matthew 13 and then verse 19. The explanation is when you hear the word of the kingdom and don't understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown. And he said plainly, and this is he who receives seed by the wayside. Now, why didn't Christ just say that up front? Why didn't he just say that in the original sermon? Because he's not talking to people who don't care. He's not talking to people who are not listening. He doesn't do what we do. We just talk. Folks like, oh, yeah. He doesn't do that. He just look. I'll give you. Here's the short form. The shorthand version right here. But again, those he's talking to now, he's talking to you. He's not talking to them. So he says. So the wayside. The first condition of soil on the screen says there's four conditions. The wayside is the unreceptive place. Now look at this as your heart. Our hearts are like the soil. Our hearts and our minds are like the soil and the field, okay, for sowing seed. But if that seed doesn't fall into the place that's designed to receive it, if that seed falls over on the path, it has no opportunity to grow. And so we don't want to be like that condition where God sends something out to us, it just kind of it falls in the wrong place. It doesn't fall into our hearts, but into the part of our mind that's just not focused. All right, keep going. So look at verse 20. The second condition. But he who received the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receive it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And that's the condition explained in Matthew 13 and verse 5. He said, some fell on stony places where it did not have much earth. Now, in that region, of the world, Israel, Palestine, it was a difficult place to sow and farm because it was a desert kind of place. The soil was full of rocks and pebbles and stone. Now, here in Indiana, you know, we have a lot of fertile land. You can go out almost anywhere and just, you know, turn land over, and you got this dirt for several inches down, nothing but dirt, just dirt. A few little pebbles, but mostly soil. Over there is the opposite. You got a little bit of dirt and a whole lot of rocks. So if you don't prepare that ground, our hearts, preparing our hearts, so if they didn't turn that ground over and take time to get those rocks out, and get enough soil, you know, 4 or 5 inches deep for the seed to start. Because, listen, when the seed begins to germinate, it shoots down a root. The root goes down first. The root goes down. And the root needs to go down far enough to tap some moisture. Now, in small plants, it's a very small distance, a few inches. But over there, if you didn't treat that soil, even a few inches wasn't possible. In fact, you couldn't go more than a half inch. inch, 2 inches, because there's so many rocks in that soil. Here's the point. So then the condition of the heart is like somebody who receives the word with joy. Say, amen. Preach, preacher. This is happening all across America right now in churches. They shouting. They carrying on up in there. They got handkerchiefs out. Them folk everywhere in here are love. Oh, preach it, preacher. They love it. They love to hear it. They love watching that seed just come out. And that seed is coming. But by the side, but the seed gets on them or into them, and the seed comes, but it cannot take root. And Christ said, for a lack of depth. Folk are just too shallow to get all that God has. Amen. Amen. I've been there. I've been shallow. Now, listen, shallow is not a condition, a permanent condition. It's a temporary condition. To be shallow in your heart, to be shallow in your understanding, is just to be unprepared. It's like going into a class, forgot the book, forgot the notebook, and got to borrow a pencil. But listen, y'all, the biggest rebuke I ever received in my whole life, I think, one of the biggest rebukes I ever had, was being in art class, say art class, and trying to borrow a pencil. Now I was from the hood. I had a hood mentality. I was a very talented kid, you know. But over there, talent didn't mean much over there at John Heron. Everybody got talent. So I went from being, I was this big, gigantic fish in a small pond at Arlington High School and became a little bitty fish in a big pool at John Heron. And so I asked to borrow a pencil. Now, I'm sure the professor has seen it before. He read it for me. You want to borrow a pencil? Everybody got to hear that. But he had to make a point. See, it happens every year. It must happen every semester. Freshman student, art school, art class, in a drawing class. We got like 5 pencils, soft and hard leads. I didn't bring nothing. I just showed up in class, no pencils at all, because I'm talented. We call that an educated fool, you know. So my point is no depth. See, so you have to have some enough depth in you to receive what God's putting out. Because he said the condition was because there was not much depth. He said in the first sermon there in the 13th chapter and verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Yeah, of course. You know, on a hot day, on the hottest day of the year, in a field where plants are growing, it's cooler in the soil. I mean, if the root only goes down 2 inches, the heat of the sun is going to bake that whole plant. It won't survive. But if it goes down 4, 5, 6, 7 inches, the hottest day won't affect the root, right? Because the root is too deep to be affected by the heat of the sun. So then in the second sermon, again, the first sermon was for them. The second sermon is for you. In the you sermon, he explains that it's like those who don't have root in themselves and only endure for a little time. See, the root he's talking about now is the root of your commitment. How deep is your commitment to Christ, to his kingdom, to his church? I mean, what is your depth of root? Because if it's not deep enough, everything is going to challenge it. And he says here that he says he endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he stumbles. Now, if God give you a message, a word on joy, do you know that you're going to be tested on your joy? Come on now. If the word on Monday is the joy of God, your strength, joy, joy, by probably by tomorrow, probably by the same day. The day won't even end, probably, before your joy is going to be tested. Probably the same day, probably the same instant, you know. Now, most of the time, the devil will give you a day. Most of the time, you get a whole day. You get a whole day. Yeah, praise God, glory. Give you the whole day. And then tomorrow, he bring the noise, okay? So then, we're challenged this way as individuals, as a ministry, I mean. We're always challenged. That's why it's just we have to recognize that the victory, we sang the song, victory, right, is in the Lord. And so we have to have depth in ourselves, our worship, our prayer time, what we do when we're not together here. I mean, all that is what really is going to create the depth in us, our devotion time, devotional readings. All of that is what prepares you to withstand the storms that surely come. Right? Now, let's go back to the first sermon, the them sermon, okay? So back in the them sermon, 13th chapter of Matthew, next point he said was, next condition, again, first condition was unreceptive, second was stony or shallow. The third condition is, he said in verse 7, but some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now, he's talking about weeds, really. Weeds. The thorns speak of a kind of a plant you don't even want in your field. You know, weeds grow faster than the stuff you want. You know, we had a drought going on sometime early summer, and man, you know, grass began to go brown, but the weeds stay green. Isn't that something? Now, grass is going, the grass is going dormant. The weeds are still green. Come on, that either, you know, I mean, when it's all green, you can hide the weeds, you know. I got weeds in my lawn. You can't really tell from a distance because it's all green. But when the grass goes dormant for a lack of rain to preserve its own life, the weeds keep on growing. Matter of fact, even when the man stopped coming to cut the grass stopped growing, the weeds kept growing. That's what happens is, it's like when the seed, when the word of God goes into a soil, into our hearts and lives, and our hearts and minds are full of weeds, stuff growing, stuff going on in us that just God didn't put there. It's just a whole bunch of weeds in us. No, we got weeds in us now. Come on now. I'm not being facetious or it ain't no negative confession. This is the actual truth. That's negative. No, it's the truth. Until we deal with it, amen? I don't want to hear it. Oh, hear it. Now, look at this. Now, here's the them sermon now. I mean, the you sermon. The them sermon was shallow. Now, he explains it to those who have ears to hear. Again, for you it's given, for you it's given to know, for them it's not given. So, for you, here it is. In Matthew 13, and now he says in verse 22, now he received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, this is so plain, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I think Luke's gospel says, cares of the world, deceitfulness, and lust of other things. Another gospel says that. But he says, he becomes unfruitful. Say become. Unfruitful. That's a condition we all are afflicted with. This is a condition, even those of us who have experienced growth and development in the things of God, when the weeds go unchecked, the things we know that don't belong in our minds, don't belong in our lives, don't belong, you know, in our belief systems, he says, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, trying to get money quick, you know, which is a big problem today. He says, and he becomes unfruitful. So then something then is choking The bad is choking the good. That's the condition. So then, as we're preparing our hearts and our lives for success, then we want to pay attention to, even after the seed has been sown in us, it had depth. Listen now, the seed did not go by the wayside. We received it. It went in. It took root. It's growing. This condition happens not immediately. It happens after a while, see? Whereas the wayside happens, you know, at the moment it happens. The stone condition, the stony condition happens shortly thereafter. But this condition of weeds and thorns happens sometime a long time after. See, this is the ailment for even mature Christians. This is the potential problem for those of us who've been saved for a while, is that over time we get loose. We get a little loose and we kind of lose some focus. And stuff is just seeping in. And so what seeps in begins to choke the good. And that is a condition that takes discernment. That's why he's talking to people who have ears to hear now. You follow me? He wasn't that playing with the people in the first sermon. But for those who have ears to hear, he is talking to us now. Because these are conditions with which we're familiar. Aren't you glad when God just makes us aware of something? I mean, you know, we don't like pain in our bodies. I don't like pain. But pain does have a purpose. Amen? That I got a problem over here to address. Now, there's things that are pain isn't always real. You know, pain can be psychosomatic. But, I mean, with real pain, it shows that, you know what, you've been bleeding, you know, out, you know, on your leg, and if you couldn't feel it, you wouldn't treat it. Right? Didn't feel it, you wouldn't know what's going on. So the pain, the challenge, at least draws attention to what has to be done. Well, so we don't like it when we find out, man, you know, my productivity for Christ has gone down. My fruitfulness has been choked off. We don't want to consider that, but when it happens, I'm glad to know. I like to know, you know, every which way that God's working in me. I want to know when I get off base. One thing in art school that I continue to value to this day is, you know, once a week, everything we did went up on the wall and got critiqued. Everybody critiqued everything every week. You couldn't create something and feel good about it and nobody critique it. And the critique, the way it went, it wasn't negative at all. I mean, it felt bad the first week, even the second week, but after a few weeks, like, you know what? I look forward to this critique because the critique always made me better. Because it wasn't like people in the room didn't know what they're talking about. The professor and fellow student, we're all art students in here. Now, a guy off the street coming in, I don't care what he has to say about it. But people who are in the class, who are art students, I want to know what you think about this work over here. And the critique was important. And to this day, I value critique from people who got something to say. That's an important caveat, you know. If you don't know, don't help me. Amen, somebody. That's why be careful who you ask a question. Check your credentials first. Just find out, well, if you know them, you know, if you know it's a friend, that's different. But sometimes you mess yourself up asking people questions who can't even help you. They just discourage you. But talk to God about everything. He knows everything, y'all. So the point is this. So then we have to monitor the condition of our hearts, because we don't want to be in a condition where the seed goes in, it's growing, it's producing, but then these weeds come up, the cares of the world, cares of the world. This is regular stuff, y'all. This is real. I mean, things that are actually genuinely of concern to you are important to God as well. You got to understand, those things can choke God's word in you. Let me give you a word. It's a deep word. The word is See if I can say the word. Compartmentalize. Say compartmentalize. Say compartmentalize. Compartment is like a space over here and a space over there. Okay? What you want to do with things in life is put stuff in compartments. Because it's all important. You're connected to every bit of it. But you can't mix everything up. You can't carry your problems to work. Amen? My wife and I came home from Florida. I'm almost done now. Came home from Florida. We took a Lyft, like an Uber type ride. It's called Lyft. Lyft and Uber are two of the same services. So a lady picked us up from the airport and started talking. Oh, my goodness. She's talking. Now, I'm like, in my compartment, this is like, you the driver, and you're driving us home. But she like telling us her daughter getting married, and her daddy she ain't talked to her daddy about it. She called her daddy. I mean, she went on about her husband like, oh, my goodness. I got my headphones out, y'all. I got my noise-canceling headphones. I ain't trying to be rude to her. I'm telling you, it was like 11 o'clock at night. We tired. We need to go home. Drive us home. Stay in your compartment. You got to put stuff in compartments, okay? Because if you don't do that, your cares, your genuine cares can filter over into your prayer life. Now, do tell God about your cares. But don't let your cares keep you from praying. Or you're called to go help somebody. You should be listening to them. You telling them what your problem is. They call to talk to you about their problem. And you don't flip the script. So the cares have come up and have choked what you should be doing. Life is hard, y'all. Y'all know this. We've all had much pain. There's pain in our lives right now. I'm in some pain right now. We all are. But you got to let God cast your cares on God. Put the cares in a compartment over there. Let God work on that. And get back over there and manage it now. Don't leave it. Don't deny it. But don't mix it all up. That chokes the word in you. Amen? Last condition was this. He said, verse 25, in the first sermon, the them sermon, he said, verse 8, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. In the second sermon, to you, he said, verse 23, but he who received seed on good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Glory to God. Amen? You who have ears to hear, you understand what's been said because you want to understand. He said you heard it, you understand it, and now it's producing at some level, whether it's a lot or a little, it is producing. God's word was sent to you to produce. He said, my word will prosper in the thing I sent it. But it's for us to have ears to hear. Amen. So again, this is how we're going to prepare our hearts and lives for increase.